fit for life. Your biblical pathway to success. Make this year your best year by studying to show yourself approved. Join us in our new Fit for Life classes to follow your biblical pathway to success. This is a class for everyone, whether you are a new believer or a mature believer. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Fit for Life class.
Today, we're going to talk about fighting the good fight of faith. Because I tell you what, we need it every single day. In the back, for those of you that are here, we have a copy of this on the table back there. So make sure you pick one up. It's one of Pastor's teachings and a five-point strategy to knock out the enemy. And that's what we want to do, right? I tell you what, it was a good time last night with the comedian. I'm glad everybody got over the fear of us having a comedian here in church. Some people were like, what? A comedian in church? Are you guys serious? It was like, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I think it was more Baptist than it was. Because people were telling me, we don't get to do that in the Baptist church. And I said, it's okay, though. That's why we're non-denominational. We just do what the Bible tells us. A joyful heart is good like a medicine. Well, we're going to talk about our faith. And today, this time in history, the last days, and we are in the last days, it's a time of great opportunity to fight the good fight. Where we use our faith and goodness to prevail against and defeat evil. And we see evil everywhere we look nowadays. It's just in our face. And for a long time, the church has said nothing and just let it go. And, you know, like Pastor says, his example of the frog and the kettle and how they just keep turning it up, you know, slowly so the frog doesn't notice. I think that was a church for a long time. And now that it's slapping us in the face, now we want to do something. But some people are still afraid to do something. But my Bible says we don't have any fear. We have no fear. God didn't create us to be fearful. He created us to have dominion over this earth and every single thing in it. And that includes all the evil that's going on now. And so we're here to stir ourselves up. Stir our faith up and realize, you know what, the Bible says we are overcomers, we are conquerors, and we need to actually believe it. Sometimes we hear it, but we don't really get it down into our spirits to where we actually believe it. In the movie The Chosen, when they were talking about, Jesus was talking about the centurion who was telling him, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is say the word, because I know from what I've seen that you can heal my son. We need to be like that. No matter what's going on in our lives, we need to say, Father God, I know, without me having to keep asking you over and over again, you said greater things I should do so I can speak to that thing, and it will change for me in my favor, because I know that the power that you have, and you've given me that power and anointing. And sometimes I think we forget how much power we really have in our words and in our thoughts to get things done the way we want it done and the way we know God wants it done in our lives. Amen. The word good, as recorded by the great Maimonides, can mean effective, like a machine doing a certain task. It can also mean reflecting God's light. And when I saw that, I said, man, reflecting God's light. And isn't that what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be reflecting God's light to a negative world, amen, a dark world. And it seems to be getting darker every single day. And it's like, man, I mean, just think about all the rockets and everything that Iran shot over Israel. Praise God, they had planes up there and, you know, got rid of a whole ton of them. There must have been over 300 things in the sky, an air fight. And you see that on TV, but just to really think, people see that. Really, how would we think about it if we saw that in our skies? and they live that every single day. And what faith do they have? But they look at us, we want that kind of faith, because they don't have that kind of faith. You know, and when I hear Sam and Shmulek talking to Scott and saying, man, we need to believe like they believe. We need to, when they pray, I heard him tell somebody, when New Beginnings prays for us, miracles happen. And if they're saying that and thinking that, we need to say that and believe that and continue to do that over all circumstances of our lives, things that are going on over there, and just over the world in general, and our neighbors and people, because people are fearful. They have no hope. And it's like, it's up to us to bring that reality back into the world. And sometimes it's hard because you go, those people are crazy. I don't want to pray for them. Those people are crazy. They do certain things that I don't like. They say certain things about me. But, you know, they don't know. They don't necessarily know what they're saying or doing. They're just hearing somebody tell it, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how you should feel. So they follow along like sheep. The Bible says they're going to be with us all the time. But you know what? The sheep follow sometimes the wrong leader, the wrong shepherd. Amen. By faith, the disciples followed and believed in Jesus. Can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, I'm going to start this ministry. Why don't you come and follow me? Would we really follow them? People just stopped doing what they were doing. Okay, I'm coming along, you know, and it's like, I don't think I could have did that. But they did. But sometimes, you know, by faith, but you have to vet people. I guess maybe when Jesus said it to them, the look on his face, or maybe that anointing just kind of overtook their spirit. And they said, okay, my spirit, you know, says, I'm good, we're good, you're good, so I'm coming. But they saw him do miracles, and they got firsthand teaching. But we've probably seen more miracles and had more, you know, a variety of teaching than they ever got. I know they saw some miracles, but how many miracles have we seen in our lives? How many miracles has God done for us personally that's like, yeah, God still does miracles? And there's a lot of people, I think, that probably haven't had a miracle, or they don't know they've had a miracle because they don't have eyes to see. And it's like, man, I mean, the miracles I've had in my life is like, God, you are so good. I mean, when my tire flew off my car and I'm still driving down the highway and see my tire in front of me and stop and go get it, and my car doesn't hit the ground, it's like, God, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. I know. And then when I had my hips done, and they're telling me what I can't do, you can't wear heels, you can't cross your legs, you can't do this, you're going to be doing, and I said, no, I'm going to do whatever I've been doing all along, and that's just how it's going to be. I don't want to hear any of that. And then just us picking up here and leaving Oregon to come here. And when we came here, nobody was here. Scott and I were the first ones here, so we had to find out where we're going to have the church. Are people really interested in Pastor Larry? You know, so we had to hunt around and find different places, venues, and advertise, and then getting here and have a week to find a house. We must have seen 100 houses. But it was like, okay, God, if you want us here, we will find the perfect house, and we have to do it in a week. That's your time frame, because we're leaving, because we have to go back and sell our house. And then we said, and we're going to get the full price for our home, so when we move here, we can do it. And then we had a realtor from the church. We said, okay, we're going to use a realtor from our church. They're Christian. She told us there's no way you can get a full price for your house in the area we were living in. And we're like, no, we're getting the full price, and we live in a pretty good, decent area in Portland near, I think it's called Clackamas Town Center, Township. But so we said, okay, we're just going to look for another realtor, because she was just so negative. No, you can't get full price offer. And we're like, Who are you? You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be helping us. You're supposed to have faith like us. So we found a different realtor who lived in the same area. She said, oh, no problem. You can have get a full price offer on your home. And, you know, and don't even worry about it. This is a great area. People want to live in this area. And we did end up getting a full price offer on our home. And it was like, thank you, Lord. And when we moved here, our house hadn't sold yet. So the guy that we were buying the house from, he let us pay rent until our house sold, and the rent was to the down payment. So it's like, God, you are so good. You are so good. So it's amazing the things that happen that are small sometimes that we don't even think about. And at one point, I had lost a job, and I didn't realize it, but I was getting depressed. I was just sitting in my bed, and I'm like, what is wrong with those people? This is just not a job to me. This is my life. What are they doing? What happened? And then I sat there in my bed one time, but I didn't want to do anything. And then I think it was like probably maybe two days or 3 days. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is not me. Why am I just sitting here feeling that and having that thought going over and over in my head? And so I said, nope, get up and get moving. But how easy it is for the enemy to come in and just put a little thought in your head and then to get you to your emotions worked up. And you go, I just don't know. What am I going to do? And you just sit there and, you know, think, God, what am I going to do? I just can't do anything because I'm a workaholic. So I just said, nope, get up. You got to get up. You got to get moving. I had to make myself and tell myself. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves. I mean, I talk to myself. I answer myself. But sometimes you have to do that just to get yourself going. And I thought, man, that was a spirit of depression. And people don't even realize just that one little thing of not wanting to do anything, that is a spirit of depression, trying to get a hold on you. And so I'm like, God, what is going on? You've got to help me. And he just told me, he said, I didn't bring you here to fail. And when I heard that, I'm like, okay, that's not me saying that to myself. So it must be you, Lord. Thank you. I needed to hear that. And so, yeah, I didn't come here to fail. I came here to help Pastor start a ministry. And so, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to get busy now. But it was like to just sit there and think about it and go, man, I got fired. Who gets fired? I said, I got fired because they wanted to give the position to somebody else. And it's like, what am I going to do now? I said, I guess I could go back into fitness and everything. I said, but that's not what God has called me to do still. So it's like, man, Lord, you got to help me out. You got to do something. So he did. So it was like, okay, God, I see you. So now I'm ready to keep moving forward. Amen. So here we are today. Having to go through the same thing and check our thoughts and our emotions on what we hear and what we see, because the enemy is out there trying to convince us that we should all be against each other, that we should just follow along with what the government and people are telling us. And it's okay to be depressed. It's okay to not know who you really are. Does God make mistakes? No. But, you know, they're telling this generation that God made a mistake, and they're believing it, and some parents are believing it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not the kid's fault, it's the parents' fault who allow that, and just let them realize, okay, I feel like I want to be a boy. And no, it's like, you know, God made you the way that you are, and he doesn't make mistakes. You have the biology of a girl, you're a girl. You have the biology of a man, you're a man. And, you know, and stop trying to change who God created you to be, because you have a destiny. Each one of us, we are the chosen. Just like in that movie, he chose them, he chose us. We are the chosen. He's given us a task to do. And so we need to walk in that task and just, you know, bind that confusion and bind that chaos, because that is the enemy's job. And he's not going to give up. He's even ramping it up, you know, in our faces. So we need to be bold. I think Broderick said that last night. We need to be bold. And we do need to be bold to say, you know, that's not what's going to go on here in our atmosphere, in our area. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept and firmly held the faith. And that's what we need to do. We need to fight the good fight and finish the race that God has created us to run. And that doesn't happen until Jesus comes back. Amen. Paul right there is coming to grips with his life because it's about to be taken. And he talks about in the previous scripture that he's not afraid to die because he's done what he believes and what he's been called to do, telling and teaching others about God and how to live a Christian life, or it was a life of following Jesus. Amen. And we are followers of Jesus, and people just label them because of Jesus Christ. They said he's the Christ, and now they decided to call him Christians. People label us all the time. But really, we're just followers of Jesus. Having faith and fighting a good fight is really about perseverance and continuing on with something you believe in, even if the road or path seems hard. And sometimes it's so easy for people to give up on things that are hard. I learned being an athlete, I had to fight through that stuff. You practice, and then when it comes to the time to do what you need to do, you just go through and you just do it. You make it so it's like a routine and you're used to it, and there's nothing's going to stop you from accomplishing what you need to accomplish. And it's hard to do the right thing sometimes. It's hard to persevere. It's hard to continue in something because people are not nice. And sometimes in church, they're even worse than they are in the world. So we have to, you know, gird ourselves up. We have to have the right mindset. We have to have our emotions in check to be able to come against the things that don't line up with God's word. And things are being invented every day. New things are being invented that they're trying to put on our kids, that they're trying to put on us with this new generation. It's all about them. It's not about helping anybody. It's not about working, which is why they're talking about the Social Security not going to be there when certain people get a certain age. And the only reason it's not going to be is because this generation don't want to work. People think it's all different kinds of things going on that's making it like that, but it's not. It's just the generation who needs to work to fill that isn't working, and they're making it easy for them not to work. Amen. The spirit of selfishness is running rampant right now in our world, in our generation. And that's not what Jesus came to show us. He was for everyone and sacrificed his life to show how much he loves us and how much we should love one another, no matter what they look like, no matter what they sound like, or whatever station they have. He came for everybody. And we need to have that same mindset. Even if somebody, you know, doesn't look like us or sound like us or wherever they are, they can be high up in a company and still need God. And so we need to remember that. And if they come off a certain way that's not right, we need to say, man, God, I need to pray for him. And just don't take it to heart. Don't let it settle in your mind, because then you're going to play it over and over and over again. And then your emotions get caught up and all of a sudden you're not feeling good and you're stressed out. And it's because somebody said something to you that didn't line up with God's word, and we just kept it and carried it. And we need to just, when that stuff happens, just drop that stuff off and say, you know, that's not God's voice. And so that's not me, because I know what he says I am. I am a child of the living God. I am redeemed. I am a conqueror. I am saved by grace. So all that stuff that he said to me or what the world says, I don't accept it. And we need to be like that. And that song that Troy had us singing, you know what? Tell us that we're important. God loves us. But the whole main thing is we need to survive. God needs us to survive all the chaos, all the confusion. We need to know we need to come to each other, be friends with each other, like-minded people, and talk and just, you know, what's your testimony? Because sometimes we need to hear other people's testimony to say, okay, I know all about that. And sometimes their testimony can get you out of whatever you're going through. So we need to make sure that we're talking and listening and just, you know, being with people who speak the word. Amen. Because even sometimes our friends don't speak the word. So we need to make sure either we're going to be the one in charge and the leader and speak the word of God, or we're going to be a follower. God didn't make us to be followers. He made us all to be leaders. Amen. We are the chosen. We're the army. He needs us. We need him. But he needs us to spread his word and the truth of the gospel. Paul speaks about using our faith, our stick-to-itiveness. I know that I'm, you know, stubborn. When it comes to stuff that I believe in, I'm not going to change. You know, it might be my family. It could be anybody. And I'm not going to change because it's the truth that's in the Word of God. And either you like it or you don't, and that's up to you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And you lose a lot of friends that way. But you know what? It's okay, because evidently they're not really my friends. Otherwise, they would stay anyway and say, okay, that's what you believe. But, you know, I don't believe that way. And you can have an argument with your friends, and that doesn't mean they're going to run away. But that's just you. They're used to me. This is how I am. Love it or lump it. Probably shouldn't say that to your friends, but my friends, they know me. I'll just say what I mean. But it's up to us to be the leader. It's up to us to be the example that God wants us to portray to other people. Amen. God planned for us to live a certain way. This other song I heard this morning, getting ready, it says, the church shall live by faith. That's what the word says. The church shall live by faith. We should live every single instant, every single thing in our lives, we should live it by faith. Amen. Paul and Timothy had to fight to live a godly lifestyle when they were constantly being bombarded with worldly views, false teachers. People telling them about idols. They had all that to deal with. And really, we are facing the same thing today. And you think about it, sometimes you can think, man, that was 2,000 years ago or something. How is it that we're still living through the same things? And we think, man, it was really intense for them back there. Well, now it's intense for us. And sometimes we just, you didn't think that at first. It was like, okay, well, that could never happen. Like, pastor says that all the time. Well, I didn't think when I first got saved that some of the things going on now could ever happen. And I'm like, I would have never thought in a million years that people would want to get sex changes. And I'm like, is that from a sci-fi movie? But people really believe they can do that. And who are the doctors that are doing it? It's just not even line up with what their profession says that they should do. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, you know, Frankenstein stuff. Let's just do this. But the real horror of it is they thought it was horrible that the Nazis were doing it to the Jews, and here they're doing it to other people that aren't even Jews. They're doing it to our kids, this next generation. And how many parents are blinded to even let that go on? How many are telling their kids, it's okay. I was a tomboy. I climbed trees. I jumped off of rooftops. I hung out with the boys, played marbles. I did everything tomboyish. That didn't mean I was wanted to be a boy. And now if you see somebody doing that, all of a sudden, you're a boy. And it's like, no. Stop telling your kids that. My son played with dolls when he was younger because he was playing with his sister. You know, and they still have dolls, action figures, but, you know, for boys. But it's like he didn't care who they were. He just cut Barbie's hair off and, you know, everything else. But he still played with dolls, but it didn't mean he was a girl. And it's like when they go through all that with the kids nowadays and how easy it is for people's minds to be changed or for us to question what God says because of something the world is telling us. And that's, you know, fighting through that. We aren't to back down from all that kind of stuff. I mean, Pastor Troy says that all the time. It's not for us to back down from people saying that stuff. We are to confront them with the truth and the word of God and pursue, stand strong in what we believe. And that's why I'm glad I'm stubborn, because if I believe something, it's going with me till I get to heaven. And we all need to be that way, no matter what somebody says, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, gentleness, and be steady. Be steady so we can survive this world and be here when Jesus comes back. Because if we're not steady, if we're not pursuing righteousness, that's how people get sick. And things like that. You get stressed out. Stress brings sickness. And so we're not supposed to be stressed out. We're supposed to be living a good life because we're following the word of God. And even though stuff like comes on us because it's just part of living, but you know what? We tell our bodies what to do. Our bodies are like a computer. We put it in our mind and tell our body what to do. And guess what? It has to do it. Whatever we tell it to do, it has to do. And sometimes we don't think about that. We think our body rules us. Our body rules our minds. But no, it's the other way around. Our minds rules the body, and we tell it what to do. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But for you, O man of God, flee from all these things. Aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like. Pursue faith, love, steadfastness, or patience, and gentleness of heart." And all we have to do is just, you know, God, I love you. Stay and be gentle with yourself in your spirit, but be alert to what's going on around you. And you know, and stay the course. Stay the course. And sometimes we get knocked down. Pick yourself up. My dad always said, "There's no blood, get up and keep going." You know? I think my kids grew up like that. "Let me see, did you hurt yourself?" "Oh, there's no blood. Okay, you're fine." You know, and we need to be like that in every area of our lives. If it's not kicking you down to where you can't move, get up. Get up and keep moving forward and be Christ-like and live a Christian life. Amen. When we speak today about fighting the good fight, God's not telling us to fight with violence like the world is telling us we should fight, like it, and showing us how it's done. They show us who they are, and we just go, "What are they doing?" But you know what? We need to come against that, bind that stuff, that spirit. It's a spirit of violence and chaos. We're to fight against mental and spiritual adversaries every day that determine the inner caliber of our character. We have to fight mentally because the fight's up here. And we have to fight spiritually because that determines our character and who we are. There's 3 points on how to fight in the midst of spiritual warfare. 1, stand on scripture. We stand on the word to know the truth. That's why we study, we read it, the word of God, and we can rest in his strength while living the instructions he gives us. The Bible is an instruction manual. People think, "Oh, it's just a book. Oh, I read it a bunch of times. I read it all the way through." Well, what did you get? Has it changed your life any? Every time you go back and read it, I can read the same scripture and get 3, 4, 5, 6 different things out of the same scripture because he gives us revelation every time we go through. Amen. Practice praying to connect. Practice praying so we can connect to God and so it comes naturally. And you know what? Everybody has a different way to pray. Nobody prays the same, and we don't have to pray the same. All we need to do is talk to God. We're just talking to God to build a relationship. And then after you start praying and get used to doing it all the time, and I pray while I'm driving, I'm praying when I wake up, I'm just going through my life cooking, and all of a sudden something comes in my mind and I start praying there. And it doesn't have to be a long prayer. You know, you just say, thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, that when I go to this interview, I'm going to ace it. I have favor with men. I have favor everywhere that I go. And just stuff like that, you know, going to the grocery store, God, I'm going to find the best prices. I'm going to find the best deals. God, I need an apartment. I need this, this, and this in it, and I'm going to find it. And just lead me to where I have to go because I know you order my steps. You know, and that's a prayer. And, you know, and he hears us. And I was reading, somebody gave us a book. I don't even remember what the name of the book is. But he talked about the altars that we set up in our homes and everything. And I'm reading that book and I thought, man, when you picture when you pray, you're not just praying in your house. You're entering into the throne room. You're standing before Almighty God and telling him what you want. And if you picture that, I mean, it's just like, man, God, like, I'm looking at, I see you. And you see me, and you know it's me. I wake up sometimes, say, okay, God, here I am again. You know, and just remind them, this is what your word says. Your word says that I can pray for you, and when I come into agreement with your word, I can have what I say. God, I need this mountain moved out of my life. And so I'm praying right now that I have mountain-moving faith. When I say something to somebody, when I pray for somebody, I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting that their lives to change. I'm expecting the atmosphere where I am and where we are to change, because I believe when Jesus walked down the roads, I bet the earth moved. And my Bible says greater things I'm going to do than he did, because he goes to the Father. So and while I'm talking, I say, God, here I am. And Jesus said, here she is, Lord. Here's what she can do. Here's what you told her to do. This is what the job you gave her to do. And, you know, he's interceding for us all the time. So when we're praying, it's not like we have to, you know, just do it all on our own. He's there and saying, yep, she's got a good spirit, God. We need to make sure that we're getting in there and helping her. And, you know, she's anointed. He's anointed. They have mountain-moving faith. They said the size of a mustard seed. Do you realize how small that is? It's tiny. That means we don't even have to have a ton of faith, and we can still move mountains, you know? And we have to remember that and realize that I am strong. I am strong, and I can do what Jesus did. I can do more than what Jesus did, because he's up there telling the dad, give her a little bit more anointing, Lord, you know, or just, you know, give her the strength to make it through this. You know, they say we go through the valley. We don't stay there. So he's walking with us through whatever we're going through. We are not alone. And sometimes we feel like we're alone in what's going on, but we are never alone. And so we need to take that to heart and live it. Amen. The third point is actually the second. I'm jumping through here. Our God is bigger and stronger than anything the world can throw at us. And we need to remember that. No matter what it looks like. I mean, God, Jesus, I lost my job. You're bigger, so I know you're going to bring me something even better. And you know, and then believe on it and stand on it. And whether you've had to go through 10 interviews, those just weren't the jobs God had for you. But he'll give you the right one. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him, and I have already defeated and overcome the enemy, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. And, you know, no matter what we see, and, you know, Pastor says and spits out Biden real easy and all that, he's not who we need there. And, you know, if we really thought about it, I just feel sorry for people who actually voted, you know, for him, because what he's doing and what he stood for did not line up with the word of God. So like he said, we're not to vote Republican or independent or Democrat. We vote Bible. If it lines up with what God is saying, okay, then we're going to vote for them. If it doesn't line up, well, we're not going to vote for them. And we have to also remember they're human, just like us, and we're not perfect, and they're not perfect. But whoever is closest to what we believe in and what we stand on, that's who we should be voting for. The Bible tells us when Moses was putting the government of Israel together, look around and see who's living righteous, who's doing what they're supposed to be doing, so we can put them in leadership so we can still follow the word of God. Amen. God tells us we are to be alert, always be alert and sensitive to what is going on and being put into our heart and into our mind, because out of our hearts comes the issue of life. That's why we ask God for discernment, so our spirit will alert us to something that doesn't line up with God's word. And how many times you get a check? You'll be looking at something and you'll get a check in your spirit. And sometimes we just ignore, like, man, what was that? Or, man, I just don't feel good about something. Something's not right. Well, that's your spirit telling you it's not right. When he says something's not right or something doesn't feel a certain way, that's your spirit. And sometimes we fail to recognize that our spirit is giving us a check to make us alert on what's going on. That's why we're told to bring everything captive that doesn't sound like our Father. And that's not only thoughts. That's our emotions. How are we reacting? Bring that into captivity to the word of God. The enemy, the devil, is always and will forever attack us through our minds, our emotions, and our will. We need to be alert to that. We need to know that. So when something comes up that challenges us in our minds and then causes our emotions to want to react a certain way, we need to challenge ourselves and say, okay, how can I get through this? How can I answer them and still be in the will of God? Like Broderick said, I have 2 days where I can go off course. But we don't want to go off course. We want to stay. We want to be steady. We want to keep going. And we want to be an example to people. So, you know, we're human. So, hey. 2 Corinthians 10:5-6 says, "Insomuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." And even Jewish people believe in the Messiah. They just missed the first coming. But now a lot of them are really going, man, you guys in this Jesus, and they know Jesus. It's not like they don't know him. He's just a good he was a good teacher. But I don't know how they could have missed all the miracles and how they all that stuff. But, you know, we miss a lot of stuff, too. So so we get it, right? But so we need to be in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. When we get to that point, then we can point at somebody else and say, okay, that's not right. And we should be doing that anyway, as long as we're ready, as long as we're right. So we need to do that. Pastor Larry constantly reminds us that our battles, no matter what they are and what they look like, are spiritual. Every battle we face is spiritual. It can be physical in front of us, but it's still spiritual. So we must fight the battle in spirit and in truth. Just as Paul tore down the strongholds of wrong thinking and behavior, we also have to do the same thing. All the bad behavior, all the bad thinking that pops up in our minds, and it's going to happen. It's not like we can just live such a godly and holy life because we're human and we're not perfect, and we won't be perfect until Jesus comes back and we're caught up. Hallelujah. So we have to always be strong and always be examining ourselves so we can do what we know we need to do. By faith, we can do all things through Christ. By faith, we can conquer anything and anybody, any circumstance. We can be the head and not the tail. The battle is always on our mind first. Then we react to it and to the thinking, what we're thinking about. And so we have to always make sure our thoughts are only the beginning of what could be coming. So when our thoughts start going, we need to say, okay, God, I got this. Number two, be alert and sensitive. Be alert to what's going on in your mind. How much time do you spend on social media? How much time are you comparing yourself to what you see on TV or on social media? Why are they getting blessed and not me, Lord? You know, I ask them now, how are they winning all that lottery money and I'm not winning? My Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Your Bible tells me that I'm righteous in your sight. So, you know, and it's okay to do that. We should do that. To remind ourselves of what the Word says. And if they can have it, I can have it. I know. So are you starting to think God loves them more than me? God, why isn't always on the East Coast? What about us here in Texas? Bring that stuff over here. Yeah. I know. But all that is lies that the enemy puts out for us to judge ourselves, compare ourselves to. And so we're constantly fighting against that kind of stuff. Number three, get involved. Don't walk this life alone. You don't have to. You don't have to get around like-minded people. You'll find you're not alone in whatever you're going through. The devil doesn't put anything new on different people. He has no new tactics. He's been doing it for 1,000 years or more, and he's still constantly doing it. Everybody goes through the same things. Everybody talking about the different races. We all do the same stupid stuff. We all go through the same thing. We all bleed the same. But the world is trying to separate us so that we're always constantly fighting so we can't see what's happening to us and we can't stay focused on the Word of God and what the Bible says. We all came from Adam and Eve. So where does that go? How do you tell somebody that? Abraham is our father. So it's like, okay, that's what my Bible says. What do your Bible say? Oh, you don't have a Bible. So fine, it's true. So we are to be like Jesus. Jesus walked and came into the room. The whole atmosphere changed. The whole atmosphere. That should be us. Wherever we go, the whole atmosphere changed. Light and revelation followed him. And light and revelation can follow us too. That song about we can survive is just like, I mean, it's so moving that we all need to remember our job is for us to survive. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance, the substance, ownership, confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our senses. And most of the time we live through our senses and instead of through our spirit. Amen. By faith, Moses freed the people from Egypt. By faith, Noah built an ark to save mankind. By faith, Abraham moved away from his home to a promised land. By faith, Sarah bore a baby when she passed the age of childbearing. By faith, David became a warrior and a king. By faith, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. By faith, we are delivered from the powers of darkness. By faith, we are overcomers. By faith, we are more than a conqueror. We live by faith in God and by the word of his testimony, and by the testimony he gives us to share with other people. Amen. 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 Thank you guys for coming. Enjoy the service and pray for Israel.